Who am I? That's a good song. I like that. Praise the Lord. We have nothing much to brag about. I turned it on.
I want to make sure you're on. Yep.
Okay. Open your Bibles up, if you would, this evening, in a very well-known portion of God's Word, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to read the major part of this chapter, but let me just tell you, our brother spoke about some of our work and what we're doing. We spent 38 years as missionaries with BIMI down Central America. Our first term was in southern Mexico in the state of Chiapas near the Guatemalan border, and we started the First Baptist Church of Huixla, Chiapas. And would you believe that church today are four churches and growing and producing wonderful results. And the man that's in charge of the main church, I won to the Lord when he was 12 years old. He's just a jewel, and we praise the Lord for him. Then we went down to Guatemala in Central America and spent many years there preaching the gospel, winning souls, baptizing them. In our first church that we started there in Guatemala City, on the part of the city called La Florida, there we, in the first 6 years that I was there, I baptized 1,000 people. And God blessed in a tremendous way. You know, other churches have been started, and we praise the Lord for all of them. We may get to go back down and visit them this year. And we trust the Lord that we'll be able to. We came home about 4 years ago. We had some health problems, and our heart's still down there, really. And we would come home, but we didn't stop. We spent a couple of years out in Phoenix, Arizona, working with David Camacho and starting a church there, and a Spanish-speaking church, doing a great job, Brother Camacho. Then we came back to Chattanooga, to the mission headquarters there. And it wasn't but a little while, and we started a Hispanic church in the Lakewood Baptist Church there. And blessed the Lord's come upon it, and we've had a number of people saved, baptized a good number of people. And praise the Lord for just the opportunity to keep serving the Lord. I lack about a year and a half of being 80. And by the way, my wife Wilma, would you stand up? This is the sweetest lady on earth. We love her with all our heart. If the Lord lets us live till the 15th of July, we will celebrate our 60th wedding anniversary. So, not too many do that, I guess, but praise the Lord for all the good years and the joy that we still have being together, serving the Lord together, and so forth. So you see, I'm not a spring chicken. We've been around a while. Been around the corner 3-4 times, you know. And we love the Lord, and praise the Lord for opportunity. Thank you for inviting us. This is a joy to be with you tonight. By the way, this is the first time I spoke in English, and I don't know how long. If I get started up and start out hollering in Spanish, you wave your arms or something, get me stopped back in gear with the English again, all right? All right, let's take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Would you stand with me as we read God's Word? Chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinking no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they'll cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child, but when I became a man, put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Amen. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am also known. Amen. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, use your service. Use your servant, Lord, in this moment. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Help me to challenge the people to live for Christ. Help me to do the job that you've called us to do. Give us a good time in your word tonight. We'll praise you for it, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. We heard quite a bit said about the seven deadly sins. Well, I want to change that just a little bit. And seven things that the Bible tells us we shouldn't love. Sometimes we love the wrong kinds of things. God's word says that love is the highest attribute of mankind. It says here, it's even greater than faith and hope. Love is important. It's greater than faith, greater than hope. Amen. There are many varied distinctions in the use of the great word in the Bible. A lot of so-called love affairs are no more than lust affairs. Right. But the Bible talks about love in a very special way. There are degrees of love. All the affection and devotion of a mother's love. My mother's been gone to be with the Lord many, many, many years ago. But you know, I still remember her. And I remember her love to me. And I remember her kindness and gentleness and sweetness. Nothing like it. Great, wonderful. With the strength and feeling of a father's love as he takes his children and he teaches them and shows them by example and it takes them to enjoy going fishing and all the good things of life. The tenderness and beauty of our companion's love. My sweet wife, so many years together, and you know I love her more today than I ever loved her in all those years. The greatest love known man to mankind is a Savior's love. Amen. Unmerited, undeserved. Imagine a love that would go and present himself as a sacrifice for our sins and die a horrible death. Because he loved us. Amen. You know, he still loves us. We may wander around and do some things that displease him, and he even still loves us. Amen. And then when we come back and get on our knees and ask God for to renew that wonderful fellowship and love again. Oh, how sweet it is. Yes. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. However, a misplaced affection can be very dangerous. And I want to bring you tonight face to face with seven dangerous love affairs. Now, we don't have time to go into great detail. Just want to mention them. First, men shall be lovers of their own selves, Paul told Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, a Quaker lady said to her husband, Bill, sometimes methinks that the whole world is crazy, but me and thee, and sometimes methinks thee is crazy too. We are taught in the Bible not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. I like that song tonight. Who am I? Well, who am I? Oh, I'm just somebody God's loved for many years. I'm just somebody that God took out of living bad to living good. I like that little saying. From the straight street in Damascus, Saul of Tarsus started walking straight. And he went straight from the Savior to preaching the gospel, and his life was straight from that time on. I like the word straight, don't you? It has several meanings, but We are taught in the Bible not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Amen. Proverbs 6:17 tells us that God hates a proud look.
Yes.
We need to be careful how we look at people.
Amen.
We don't look down our long noses at people. Let's just show people we can love them, you know. Amen. Again, in Proverbs 16:18, the Bible says, pride goeth before a fall, and destruction of a haughty spirit before a fall. Covetousness, which God calls idolatry.
Right.
Greediness, selfishness, or wicked sins. It's all very respectable in many churches today. The attitude of the world and the worldling is, what do I get out of it? The attitude of the Christian ought to be, what can I give to it? Secondly, now at first men shall be lovers of their own selves, Paul told Timothy. Be careful. Let's love other people. You know what? We found out over the years, if you love other people, they'll love you too.
Amen.
Secondly, the love of money. It's not money, but the love of money that's the root of all evil.
Right.
1 Timothy 6:10, the apostle warns that those who covet after money have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And oh, how many illustrations we've seen of that over the years. He's saying making money is not the main business of being a Christian. Amen. There's some other things more important, serving and loving the Lord. Man who works all week and is too tired on Sunday to go to the house of the Lord, that's a foolish man. Write it down. That's the way it is. A man or woman who says they can't afford to tithe, when God's word plainly says the tithe is of the Lord, that's a greedy, a selfish man who will live to regret his thievery of the Lord.
Amen.
The only poverty that hinders folks from giving to the Lord's cause is spiritual poverty.
Amen. Right.
And I learned a long time ago, 90% of my ingress is what I receive with the blessing of the Lord is a whole lot more than 100% without the blessing of the Lord.
Amen.
The third dangerous love affair is the love of the praise of men. Now I know I'm stepping on toes here, but this is one sin that most people hate to have exposed. Jesus said in Matthew 6:1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them.
Amen.
Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Jesus taught that when we prayed, we were to not pray standing in the synagogues and street corners to be seen of men. You want to get close to God, get alone in the closet with him.
Amen.
Yeah. It's good to come to the house of God and pray, and boy, we ought to do it every time.
Amen.
But we better have some more praying than that. We need some serious praying alone with the Lord.
Amen.
This is the way hypocrites pray. And the praise of men for their flowery recitation, boy, that's all the reward they're going to get. The Lord Jesus said, yeah, and there won't be any more. But our Lord has taught us to do the bulk of our praying alone. Illustration of the Lord. He left his disciples on certain occasions. He went off in the desert somewhere and he had a place all by himself.
Right.
Oh, not alone with the Father.
Amen.
That's what we need to do.
Amen.
Jesus assured us that our Father which seeth in secret shall reward us openly. Isn't it a shame that some preachers won't preach if the crowd's too small? When Jesus did most of his preaching to 12 men.
Right.
Isn't it a shame that some sinners like to go where there's a big crowd and a lot of slaps on the back, where the praise of men is sweet in their ears? Isn't it a shame that some will sing in the choir if they have a solo? Or some will serve on a committee if they're the chairman. Oh, beloved, this grieves the Savior. This is just the vanity of the flesh which needs to be put to death constantly. Paul said, hey, I'm doing pretty good serving the Lord, but I have to die every day.
Yeah.
And we need to do that. Put self down every day.
Amen.
And raise up the Lord Jesus. Amen. Beware of the praise of men. It's better to be dying daily with Paul than to be bragging with Peter. Peter, when he went to bragging about how he's going to serve the Lord, he got in trouble on the same night. The fourth dangerous love affair I want to mention tonight is the love of the world. God's word is very plain on this subject. 1 John 2:15-17, we read, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Boy, oh boy, we need to pay attention to that phrase.
Amen.
"If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." If you love the Lord Jesus, you don't have a hard time distinguishing between the devil's domain and the Lord's territory. No, sir. Prayer to the Father through the shed blood of the Son is of God. So is the singing praises to the Lord. I love to hear your choir sing tonight. Praising the Lord. Bringing honor and glory to the name of our Savior.
Amen.
Witnessing for the Lord. That's on the right side. That's in the Lord's territory. Amen?
Amen?
Witnessing for the Lord. Attending church regularly. Where the Word of God is preached and where you get the right kind of Christian fellowship. This is the Lord's territory. That's where we need to stay. That's where we need to live. Everything is pure and clean and a good report. Paul said, think on these things. We need to be careful what we think about. If we're not careful, we can be thinking about the wrong things. Think on these things. Places where Jesus wouldn't be welcome, we ought not to go.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
With a crowd that's indecent, immoral, and vulgar, hey, that ought to be off limits for us.
Right.
For example, the dances of the world. Why? Well, you put a man and a woman together in a dance floor, pretty soon there won't be more dancing. But there'll still be the attraction and the lust of the flesh. The dance is an incubator of adultery, someone said.
Amen.
Cesspool of iniquity. Mother of harlots, sister of the red light district. Road to ruin, disgrace, and finally hell. So the devil's domain, we don't have any business going there, do we? Same goes with the Hollywood movies. Every honest person will have to admit that God, or that the movies that's being made in Hollywood glorify illicit sex, crime, debauchery. What is their title and what is their, the main part of their work? It all fits in that category. The lives of the characters are generally sordid and sinful. Lust, drinking, gambling, smoking, loose living, all kinds of ungodliness provides the main themes of those movies. A theater is just no place for a Christian to go. But while I'm on the subject, let me say this too. I might as well insult everybody while I'm at it. It's just as rotten to sit at home and watch the same thing on television as it is to go to the theater. Man stepped up angrily to a ticket window at a drive-in show a few years back. He pushed the gun in the cashier's face and said, "My wife is in a parked car with another man. I want to call her outside. Tell her if she doesn't come, I'm coming in to kill him and her both." The girl in the booth nervously sent the message over the public address system to the cars, and then she whispered softly, "I suggest that you slip away immediately through the back exit." One of the ushers said there's 35 cars hurried through the back exit. Doesn't sound too good, does it? Dangerous love affair number 5. Loving pleasure more than loving God.
Right.
Clean recreation is fine. Fun is fine. Pleasure is fine, normal for us, provided we not place our love for it above our love for our Savior.
That's right. Amen.
God pity the woman who goes to a movie and weeps crocodile tears and makes fun of a woman or a person, Christian, weeping in church. God help this crowd that goes to a ball game or wrestling match and jump and shout like Comanche Indians and when they go to church and sit bored like a wooden Indian. Some church members will drive 1,000 miles on a pleasure trip, but they won't drive a few blocks to church.
That's right.
Some church members put all kind of money into boats and fishing gears and golf clubs and cabins and gripe like the mischief when a church asks for money for a missionary.
Right.
While I'm thinking about missionary, we're next door neighbors to Dot Rosser, who you support. They're a factory house at Orkland, our house. We have sweet fellowship with her. You're not fooling God, my friend. He knows where your treasure is, and there will you be your heart also, he said. Number 6, many have lost their first love. Jesus said in Romans, Revelation 2:5, Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, "Thou hast left thy first love." Oh, how sad. I'm afraid many Christians have to admit that. God tells these to repent or else. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many, the love for the Lord will wax cold. That's why some marriages go on the rocks. Husband takes a wife for granted. The wife shows little attention or affection to the one she vowed to cherish and obey, and pretty soon there's all kinds of problems. Here's a real cause why so many Christian lives have been shipwrecked spiritually. We take our wonderful Savior and His work for granted. We become careless in our prayer life and careless in our Bible reading and careless in our church attendance and selfish in our giving and cowardly in our witnessing and compromising in our convictions. And what happens? Pretty soon we're cold.
Right.
We've lost our first love. Have no intimate friends with those who are not friends of Jesus.
Amen.
Should I repeat that? Have no intimate friends with those who are not friends of Jesus.
Amen.
Have you lost your first love? Oh, how drab, how dull, how dead your profession seems to be. Repent. Turn to Him for forgiveness. David prayed. By the way, let's go there just for a moment. Chapter 51 of the Psalms. Let's hear David just for a minute. We won't read the whole chapter, but there's a few verses we could look at here. Chapter 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. You know, David went to the right one. That's the only one that can blot out your transgressions.
Right.
Amen. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He's really hung up on that theme, isn't he? Oh, his heart was broke. He'd done wrong and he knew it and he admitted it and he went to God for forgiveness. Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. Oh, that's where the joy starts again. You get the right spirit again. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Oh, that's where the joy comes back. And uphold me with thy free spirit. And without being upheld by the Holy Spirit, we sure have a lot of problems.
Amen.
13, then I will teach transgressors. Oh, you see, yeah, when he was full of sin and he didn't have it forgiven, and I Many commentators say that he probably lived that way for a year before he got around to confessing his sin. Not till that dear old prophet came and stuck his nose right on David's nose, his finger right on David's nose, and said, "You're the one."
Amen.
Verse 15, "Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show praise unto, show forth thy praise." Oh, when we got sin in our life and it's not convicted, it convicted us and we've not turned and confessed it, boy, we don't have no joy, and we don't have any power, and we don't have, everything's a burden, everything is sour, everything's difficult. But oh, how sweet it is to have that sweet forgiveness that only the Lord Jesus can give us. And then the most dangerous love affair of all is love for Satan. Number 7, only degenerates love Satan, for he's heartless and cruel. This world is fast degenerating into heathen darkness. Don't take my word for this. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:1-2, this Bible is a definite, divinely inspired, inerrant word of God. And listen to what Paul says, 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Oh, the most dangerous love affair of all is getting along with Satan, except in his ways and his teachings. Jesus taught that no man could serve two masters. Either God is your master or Satan. You cannot serve God and mammon, he said. The American Sunbathing Association announced recently that there are nearly 1 million members of that association. You know what it is? Nudist. 1 million. The present trend continues. They say it won't be long. That'll be multiplied many times. Listen to 1 Timothy 2:9. We are to adorn ourselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. The person who will defy the Bible and defy the natural instincts of modesty and shamefacedness and go in public nearly naked will sooner or later go completely undressed and sell themselves completely into the hands of Satan. Don't think for a moment that demon possession existed only in the time of Jesus.
Amen.
Exists today. Many qualified missionaries will testify to that effect. And if America don't repent of their lust and their loose living, God will give us up just like he did the pagans many generations ago. Have you ever plugged your ears long enough to see the actions of those who attend a rock concert? For me, I'd have to plug my ears. Talk about lust and loose living. Spiritually minded people over this land see multiplying evidence of Satan-inspired degeneracy all about us. But oh, we who have been saved by the grace of God,
amen.
How sweet it is.
Amen.
What a joy it is.
Yes.
Just to walk with a clear conscience. Just to walk with joy in our hearts. Just to walk with a confidence that knowing our next step is exactly what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Let me pause and preaching tonight with it. Just try to bring these 7 points once more into focus. Do we love Christ more than we love ourselves? Do we love Christ more than we love money? Do we love Christ? Or do we love and look for the praise of men? Do we love Christ? Or do we love the world? Do we love Christ? Or really love pleasure more? Do we love Christ? Or have we lost our first love? Do we love Christ? Or is the world controlling us? 7 very dangerous loves. Holy Spirit might be calling in some heart tonight. Just take a brief exam of your past life for the last some time and say, wow, I'm not where I ought to be. You know what? My life smells just like David's did before he confessed and repented. I need to come tonight. Do what David did. And receive that wonderful joy, peace, contentment of walking with the Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you for help. It helps to clearly distinguish what is the devil's domain and what is the Lord's territory. To not only distinguish the differences, but to examine ourselves and be real sure where we're standing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.